You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Welcome to Just Women with me, Ivana O'Brien. Introducing more interviews are recorded remotely. I spoke to Anthea McCourty, a registered nutritional therapist, personal trainer and Yoga Alliance teacher, about some of the work she's involved in. I chatted to Sophie Eastop Scopes, founder and director of Eastop Scopes Virtual Assistants, with specialist knowledge in areas including social media and marketing. But firstly, here is my interview with Renu Ballantine, a Surrey-based private chef, whose services include private dining, cookery class parties and weekly in-home cooking. Hi, Renu. Welcome to the show. It's always nice for our listeners to know a little bit about what guests have done before. So can you tell us a bit about your career history?
Sure. Hi, Ivana. So nice to chat to you today. Hi, yes, I'm Renu, Renu Ballantine. At the moment, I have a private chefing business called Chef Renu B, but that's not always been my career. I graduated with a degree in economics and engineering quite some years ago. And for the last 24 years, I've been doing lots of different roles in corporate, in the engineering and the commercial and the finance sphere. So the last big role that I had was for 12 years with ExxonMobil. And I did everything from training people in economics to writing power training courses, selling gas to the international market, and working with the Qataris when I was living over there.
Excellent. So obviously there's lots of differences between engineering and what you do now, but the creativity and hands-on aspects are there. But what took you from that world to this world?
Well, I had the opportunity to retire in April 2021, and I thought, you know what, my children are at that age where I haven't got much time left with them. They were off to university soon, so I wanted to spend more time with them at home, and I wanted to follow my passion. And I'd done private chefing in the US for 4 years whilst we lived there. I had never trained, so I decided to take retirement, retrain, did two different training courses at least, one in nutrition and how to make nutritionally balanced food tastes amazing. And the other was the exact opposite. It was the chef's professional skills course. And we did everything with cream and sauces and meats and pastries. So that was the reason for the career change, was to follow my passion and to spend more time with my children at home.
So tell me, how was it working for the Americans? I know they're quite hard taskmasters, but how did you find it? Obviously, you were in the Sunshine Coast at one point, which must have been lovely.
Yes, I lived in Miami, I lived in Virginia, and I lived in Houston. So I worked with the Americans for all 12 years, even when I worked in Qatar and in the UK as well. Have to say, yes, they are huge taskmasters, but they've got so much to offer, such a drive and a commitment to work and a really strong work ethic. And I have to say, I learned so much in my time in corporate, and I've really been able to bring that across to my business. I feel like I get things done a little bit faster, you know, setting up invoice payments, working out my profit and loss, my balance sheet, all of those things just come naturally to me. But yeah, it was good fun. I learned a lot.
So what was it like coming back to the UK then? Obviously different climate, having to get used to all that kind of thing. Was it like a new adventure? How did you feel about it? Or chance to sort of retrain and do, as you said, you hadn't trained, and well, this was your chance then to sort of reinvent yourself, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I'd done 4 years working as a private chef in America, but I'd had a little bit of training at one of the chef schools there, and retraining here was fantastic because Leeds School of Food and Wine isn't too far away. It's just in Chiswick. I was able just to drive up there on a day basis. But with the chef skills course, I actually stayed there for a month. So that was quite nice to be away from home. Kids miss me, husband missed me, but it was really good, and it was really good for me to be able to focus. Climate's been a bit of a thing that we've had to get used to, having lived both in the Middle East and in Houston. We've all got used to the cold weather now, but yeah, it was a bit of a culture shock when we first came back.
And so talk to me about some of the services you provide as part of your offering, Renu.
Yeah, so a lot of what I provide are dinner party events for my clients. A lot of people come to me and say, look, we've got some vegetarians, we've got some pescatarians, I've got some celiacs, and they want to have a celebration, and it's really hard to go to restaurants.
and they want to do something at home, because I've specialised in the nutrition side of things, I'm able to cook meals that taste fabulous, but you would never guess that the gluten's not there or that the lactose isn't there, for example. And we design menus. I love designing menus. I have cookbooks all over my house. I get into the cookbooks. I talk to the client, find out what the event is for, logistically, how it's going to work. And then we get together and do a dinner party. So that's one thing I do. I also do a lot of cooking class parties. So two themes I've run already are sushi making cooking class parties. And you learn a little bit about Japanese traditions. And then I show you how to make various different forms of sushi. And then everyone has a go. The other class I run is a pasta making class. And a lot of people are frightened by pasta because it just seems so hard to shape. But there's lots of shapes you can do without a pasta rolling machine. So I recently ran a class and we made beautiful beef, so cooked beef ravioli, and we made mushroom ravioli, and we made orecchiette on a little board. And then we made simple sauces like pesto. So both of those classes are fun. I do them in the client's home and I bring all the equipment. Wow. I also do freezer fills for new parents. So a lot of times new parents don't have that time to cook, and their parents or a group of friends will get together, buy a package, and I'll fill their freezer for a week. That's so much fun to do.
I thought it was a great idea because we've got neighbours that are just about to have a baby, and I was thinking about maybe looking into that for them, because obviously, as you say, it's hard when you're trying to do everything and look after a baby, and the baby, your sleep deprivation and all that kind of thing. So to have someone put all that food for you in the freezer sounds amazing to me.
Oh, yeah, and the nutrition side of it, because you just don't look after yourself when you have a new baby at home.
Of course.
So both parents lose out, really. So, I've done that for a few clients, and they've been really grateful.
And so is the Friday Night Health Aways the one that you just mentioned, where you also look at the calorific content and the nutrition value and all that kind of thing?
So Friday Night Health Away was, I invented that this time last year. I wanted to get, my strategy was to try as many different things as possible and see what the market needed. Because being new to the market here in Surrey, I wasn't sure who wanted what. It's a three-course meal for two people, and it's your favourite takeaways, but much healthier version. So last month for January, I did an Indian night. I've done French nights, Moroccan nights. We've done Spanish nights. I prep all the food fresh on a Thursday, so nothing is prepackaged or frozen. I deliver it to your home with some instructions, and then I could preheat it.
And when I looked at the prices, please tell us about the prices, Renu, because I think people might be surprised at how much you charge. They might think it's more than it is, but tell us,
So a Friday Night Health Away, purposely this month I did a budget busting one, obviously, because, you know, with the cost of living crisis, eating out is one of those things everyone is scaling back on. So they normally price between £30 to £38 for two people. I'm doing a similar one for Valentine's night, where I can deliver your Valentine's meal for you. Mm-hmm. And you have just to reheat it so you can impress your Valentine with your culinary expertise and pretend you did it, even though I did. That's priced between 50 and 55, and it's three courses, and I make the most amazing beef Wellington. So it's a great opportunity to try my food without having a big full-scale dinner party.
You've just given me a vision of you passing the food through the window into the hostess that everyone thinks that she's cooked it. Why are you not looking?
Hide the packaging.
And I love that you say on your website, Renu, that you source your produce locally to support local farmers, butchers and fishmongers, which is really important, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a wonderful cheese merchant down in Silent Pool, and I use them. I also work with a wine merchant in Guildford, and he brings in his wines exclusively. So often I'll phone him up and say, look, I've got this dinner menu, what wine would you recommend? And then I recommend that to the clients. I shop in Ashtead Village. The fruit machine is just there opposite the traffic lights. Everyone knows that in Ashtead Village. And I tend to buy a lot of my produce from her. And then at the other end of Ashtead Village is Clive at the Hammonds Butchers. He has the most amazing meat produce. And whenever I need to get something really high-end or really difficult to get hold of, he's my go-to guy. I needed to do venison because I was doing a venison Wellington for a client and nowhere had venison. But Clive obviously came up trumps. He always does.
That's fantastic. And I was also intrigued on the website about cook along and work out, which I know. So you've got all these different strands that you've added to your bows, that you've added to your what you offer. So tell us about, are people literally cooking and jumping up and down at the same time, or they're eating and jumping up and down at the same time? How's that work?
So I work with a personal trainer, PT Avia. She's Avia PT at Surrey, and she's actually my PT. But we started working together and we developed this brand called Workout. And the workout means not just working your body out, but working everything out about your life. There's a big push at the moment to look a certain way, to eat a certain thing, to go on a restricted diet. And neither of us have that philosophy. Both of us understand balance, and balance is different for everybody. So I do meal plans for my clients, and quite often it'll be somebody who's diabetic, who is trying to understand glycemic load or glycemic index, and I'll develop meal plans for them. She had the idea that because she's got the PT side of things and I've got the food side of things, we could do things together. So Cook Along and Workout was an online class where we prepped some food, and then whilst it was cooking, we did a workout, and then we came back, finished prepping the food, and then we sat down and had a lovely meal together. And along the way, I give a lot of my hints and tips as to how to make food taste amazing without adding unnecessary elements such as high fats or high carbohydrates or refined and processed foods. It's all about the techniques. That's certainly what I learned on the nutritional course. It was the techniques that made the food taste amazing, not all the extra added things.
Sure. And out of all the things you do in terms of what people are looking for, do you think it's cooking the meals for them? Is it the freezer? Is it the cookery classes? What's the most popular at the moment for you?
At the moment, the Friday Night Healthaways are very popular, but also the dinner parties. My clients want high-end service, and they want personalised service. I think a lot of what you find with caterers or with these online chef companies is that it's a set menu, it's a set service. If my client wants me to pour their champagne to their guests as they're arriving, as we're serving canapés, we'll always be happy to do that. If my client's running 30 minutes late and we need to hold back the food a little bit, that's absolutely fine. So I find that my dinner party clients really want a very personalised service, and they want to design the menu together with me, and they want to be very embedded in all of that. So it's my most popular booking at the moment.
You sound like one of these people that's always cool and calm under pressure. You need to be, because as you say, if you're having to adapt the timings, if you're having to keep calm, you're in someone else's kit. I mean, that must be really quite stressful. It doesn't sound stressful to you at all.
At the beginning, I think it was something that I felt overwhelmed about, and I planned my way out of it. I sort of created a timetable within 5 minutes so that I knew if I was behind something, you know, and that's how it would happen. Now that I've had about, you know, 30 of them under my belt, I know when things might or might not go wrong. I still do the plans. All of my staff get one of my plans beforehand. They know the menu, they know the client, they know what they're responsible for. And I also know what I'm responsible for, because you're right. You never know what's going to happen. You never know if something is going to be just thrown at me. And that's happened twice, actually, both with very big dinner parties, one for a 20-person dinner party, where the client, it was a hen party, and they had a sushi making lunch, and they had all sorts of other bits and pieces. And I was meant to be prepping most of the main course, but I got waylaid, and I got into a discussion with the hen and her sister and various other people. And I just couldn't get back to cooking. But luckily, I had the most amazing team. And my sous chef, who I've known for my nutritional course, she stepped in and she just said, OK, well, I've done this and I've done this and I've done this. And in the end, everything turned out perfectly. So I'm working with her again, and I love working with her.
Perfect. I have to ask you this question. You'll probably find it hard to answer, but what food do you love to eat? What's your favourite type of food?
I have a huge sweet tooth. I can't eat too many sweet things, but I love making profiteroles. A client last summer asked me to make a croquembouche, which is a big tall tower of profiteroles that are stuck together with caramel. These are the things that you see like on the Cordon Bleu, and, you know, they're all crashing. And so I practiced and practiced and practiced a lot, which meant I got to eat a lot of profiteroles with craquelin on top, which was delicious. And so I do like desserts. The croquembouche survived. It didn't fall over. And I also like Indian food, because it just reminds me of my childhood and my mum, and she lives close by. And so when I need to make 200 samosas, which I make from scratch by hand, she'll come round, and her and dad will sit around the table, and we'll be just spend an afternoon making samosas. So I like that, because mum can get involved as well.
That's lovely. And I noticed that you belong to an Epsom Neural networking group, don't you? Do you think that's really important to network?
Oh my gosh, I could not have been doing what I'm doing without networking. I think the Epsom and Newell families networking directory has just been so helpful. I've received so many recommendations through it. It's invaluable. And I network with small businesses. I network with big corporate companies as well and let them know what I do, because, you know, they could be my clients in the future. It's hard networking and it's hard to know how to sell what you do. I think you have to put your brand image on your mark, on your website, on your business card, whatever it is, get your image across on those things so that when they see your business card, they know that you mean, you know, fine dining, that you mean luxury, that you mean high end. Or if you're all about volume, then you have to get that across as well. But yeah, networking, it's hard work. You have to take time to do it, but it's really paid off for me.
Oh, it's great to know that. If you could talk to a younger you, Rena, because we're running out of time, what would you say to her?
I'd say, don't worry, it's all going to turn out. You can have an amazing life, amazing family. You're going to travel a lot, and don't forget to follow your passions.
That leads me really well into my last question, which is, if you could offer listeners who might be also considering following their passion one piece of advice, what would that be?
Work out what it is your passion is, because quite often you think it's one thing, but in reality, it's something else. I thought I wanted to be a private chef for working for a client, you know, up in London, cooking for them every day. The reality is I love meeting people and I love talking to people and I love seeing people happy and bringing them joy. And actually doing the dinner parties is more joyful than being with a private chef. So if you're transitioning into something different, work out what it is your passion is by doing other small things. Make a few mistakes, but make sure they're commercially viable. And what works and what makes you money, you know, and what's your passion is like the golden ticket, really.
That's great. Great bit of advice. And if listeners want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Yes, my website's www.chefrenub.com, or I'm at Chef Renub on Facebook and Instagram, and all my details are on there.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. That was Renu Ballantine of chefrenub.com. When Renu mentioned about her Friday night healthaways, a budget-busting Indian meal for two people for £30, I knew I was in. Stay with us, as after our ad break, I speak to Anthea McCourty, a registered nutritional therapist.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.
I'm so glad you're open.
Thank goodness you're here.
Do you ever close?
Did you know the pharmacy at 20 Church Street, Weybridge is open from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday to Saturday and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sundays to meet your immediate medical needs? Our friendly and knowledgeable team can provide you with the advice you need, as well as helping you with complete prescriptions, all over-the-counter products you would expect, and if you can't get in to visit us, we will deliver to you. The pharmacy, 20 Church Street, Weybridge. We're here when you need us.
Are you looking for a business in your area? Look no further than the CC Business Directory. From architects to accountants, plumbers to pest control, our CC Business Directory can help you find your local business, all whilst helping local charities. Want to find a business or have your business listed? Visit cctrades.co.uk or call us on 07850 921 977. Alternatively, visit the Camberley Chat Facebook group.
Hold on to your hat, it's George Irvin's Fun Fair at Hampton Court. It's all the fun at the fair with crazy dodgems, wacky waltzers, stunning carousels, and so much more. Check out our website, irvinleisure.com. Then head along any day from the 28th of March to the 2nd of April. It's a day to remember with fun for all the family. George Irvin's Fun Fair on Hampton Court Palace Green. And don't forget the candy floss.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.
Welcome back. And now here is my interview with the lovely Anthea. Hi, Anthea. Welcome to the show. Before we chat about what you're currently doing, it's always nice for listeners to find out a bit more about your background. So can you tell us a bit about what you've done before?
Absolutely. So I had always been very active as a kid. Although when I got to my teen years, I became very obsessed with how my body started to look. You know, I'm sure most of us can relate. Puberty hit, my body was looking a little bit different. I was doing a lot of dancing at the time, so felt quite conscious. I became very sort of not obsessed, but always wanting to sort of slim down and be smaller. So I my knowledge of calories was disturbingly high at that age. And then, you know, that went on for a while, but it didn't always correlate with healthy eating. So as after I left uni the first time, I sort of ended up in a sales job. It was a work hard, play hard environment. So although I might have been counting my calories, I was drinking a lot, the food was low fat, but just junk, really. I had a change in life circumstance. I was supposed to be going to Dubai with an ex. That fell through, the relationship, that is, and then the job offer. So I decided to, you know, what I wanted to do with my life. And I thought, well, I'm interested in nutrition. I'd like to find out more about it. So I went on to do a BSc in nutritional therapy. And that was just a revelation. You know, I was learning about how food could work for you, just the impact that it had in all aspects of our life. And, you know, it wasn't just about sort of eating low fat and certain calories. It was just this absolutely wonderful, fascinating world to me that opened up. And, you know, as the years went on, I was studying part-time whilst I was working. So I became interested in martial arts, started doing a lot of that. I was doing about 14 hours training a week at one point. You know, it really did take over most of my personal life. And following an injury, which meant a lot of time away from the mats, that coincided with a bit of a tax rebate. So I thought, aha, why not do a personal training qualification? Because a lot of the women that I've been working with were looking at this kind of weight loss journey. And I thought, if I can work holistically with them, that would be great. And then that progressed and I went to Goa and I did yoga teacher training just to kind of, again, make it more holistic. And at that point, I thought, well, I need, you know, I've qualified everything. I need to be working full time because it was one of these things that I'd sort of been, you know, building up on the side as well as doing the day job. But it takes a bit of bravery to just make that plunge. So, yeah, I've been working full time for, I guess, 5 years now. Wow. Which seems to have flown by.
So it's really brave of you to have done that, to have taken that plunge. So I noticed on your website that one of the things it says that you do is that you're a trail runner and pole enthusiast. So tell me about those two things. I'm intrigued.
So basically, after two shoulder surgeries, my consultant said, you know, unless you want a shoulder, you know, replacement, maybe find a different hobby to martial arts. So I thought, okay. So I started running, which I'd always hated. But I realized that actually, some of the times when I was fight training, there was like a beautiful area in Box Hill and I used to sort of just enjoy being outside. So yeah, I started doing that. I've had a little bit of a rest just from just a minor sort of injury that I've had that's been worked on. But pole dancing, pole fitness, it was always one of these things that I've been meaning to do. And, you know, we have these things that we keep talking about doing. And then I turned 40 and I was like, oh, just shut up talking about it, just do it. So I started pole dancing and I started climbing at the same time. Not literally at the same time.
Of course.
in the same month I started. And now they've been absolutely brilliant. You know, it's the fitness with pole, it's the fitness side of things. It really kind of takes it further what I'm all about. So just that being able to discover what your body's capable of doing is just such an empowering feeling. It gives you so much confidence, you know, to a less flamboyant extent with the climbing, that kind of does the same. But I'm all for actually discovering what you can do, and the knock-on effects from that are just brilliant. So yeah, just kind of things for me tend to come along at the right time in my life.
So basically you're really good at stepping outside your comfort zone, which is really key, isn't it? Actually, that's where the progress happens. That's where life starts, is outside your comfort zone, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's interesting because a lot of my clients are very much like that in the career, in their sort of career world, but they've not transferred it necessarily into everything else. So what I love is being able to sort of see, you know, what makes them tick, because they're very driven. I tend to sort of attract that kind of clientele, sort of driven women who know what they want, but they're just not quite getting it on the health front with their either health issues or their health goals. So yeah, it's fun sort of opening up that world to them.
Before we talk about some of the services that you provide, because I know that there's obviously several, Anthea, but one thing that always intrigued by is the fact that when doctors get their training, they're only trained in nutrition for 4 hours.
Yes.
Which I just can't get my head around that. When food is such an important part of how you feel and how you are and your physical being, I don't understand why it's not touched on more.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, absolutely. I'd go first port of call to my GP about a lot of things, but certainly when it comes to chronic conditions, I don't feel like there's enough relevance given to the importance of nutrition. Because I love working with different agencies, because, you know, I believe in this holistic approach. But a lot of what we've sort of been brought up with and what we've come to expect is very much symptom-based. And I'm not anti-medication whatsoever. There's medications that I take that I need, you know.
Sure.
I think we sort of go to that first of all because we want to deal with the symptoms, because everything in our whole lives is now, now, now. Whereas actually, if we spend a little bit more time, sort of get down to the root causes, which is very much how nutritional therapy works, that takes longer. So my initial consults are about an hour and a half. I want to know everything about their health history so we can put it together. Whereas if you go to the doctor, you know, with a chronic health condition, you've got 10 minutes. So it's very difficult. You know, I think they have a very difficult job. But it's hard to kind of really sort of get nitty gritty with causes and the nutrition side of things.
And something else that you mentioned on your website, which again, I totally agree with, is that some things might be okay for some people, they're not necessarily okay for others. So just because fruit and vegetables are an amazing thing, we should have five a day, et cetera, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that for everyone, every fruit and every vegetable is okay. You know, that's the case, isn't it?
And we definitely need more than five a day. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of conflicting information out there, but you're right. For some people, some things can work well. So, for example, a lot of things depend on what your starting point is. So somebody going from a fairly junky sort of Western diet, suddenly going into a wonderfully vibrant vegan diet where they're exposed to all these different vegetables and different things, might feel a massive change. But over time, all the grains, etc., might not agree with their body's digestive tract. You know, it might not be ideal for them. Same thing, somebody going from a very plant-based vegan diet who isn't necessarily doing so well in it, if they sort of change to maybe more of a paleolithic approach, take out some of the grains that might be aggravating them, they might feel wonderful. It all depends on the person, what's going on with them at that time. And again, you know, what that starting point is.
Sure. So tell us some of the wonderful services you provide, Anthea.
So I kind of work in different levels, really. So the most intense level are the transformation programs. So I always want to work with people over a period of time because there is such a coaching aspect of it. And, you know, as much as we, especially when we've got that January sort of vibe in our heads, we want to change everything all at once. But realistically, we want habits to be sustainable. We need to do it step by step. So 12-week programs are kind of a good level, you know, a good length of time to start doing that. So the transformation programs, I offer nutritional therapy. So, you know, we do that health questionnaire that I mentioned, and then we sort of focus on a few areas, bringing in one or two changes each time. So it's, you know, weekly check-ins, changing things up. I've got access to private labs, so we do testing. We can do meal planning as well. So that's sort of weekly over the course of the 12 weeks. And then on the personal training side, we've got two PT sessions a week at home. So it's very much a sort of, you know, personalized service. And then on the nutrition front, it's just the nutrition sessions. Then for something that isn't as intense, but it's almost like the kind of like a You Buy Anthea Light, it's like the membership, which is all about really supporting each other in a community. So you've got weekly meal plans, which are all very much focused on balancing blood sugar levels, you know, supporting hormonal balance. So they've got a really good sort of robust, healthy approach, but it is more generalized. And then with that, we've got online fitness, yoga sessions and challenges and that community.
Do you ever have any time off, Anthea? You're so busy all the time.
You know what? I decided I had way too much time on my hands. So I've actually just started Krav Maga classes on a Saturday.
What's that? I'm intrigued. What's that?
That is, it's an Israeli, I think they sort of created it. It's a form of martial arts that they get their army to do. So it's very much sort of self-defense, because I've been doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu, Thai boxing before, but I was like, I can't go through all the physical stuff of that, but I do want to get that self-defense side. So a lot of my free time actually goes towards physical stuff, because I actually stopped drinking alcohol about a year and 2 months ago. So a lot of my social life is sort of around physical activity and things now, which is great. I love it.
Yeah. And obviously you've done some amazing things with clients. Can you tell us about some of your success stories, Anthea?
Yeah. In terms of weight loss, I've had really good results, because I know that people do like numbers. One of my clients, she lost 30 kilos after her second child was born. I've had clients losing 11, 12. Again, it depends on what their starting point is. I've got a guy I'm working with at the moment. He's down a stone and a half. So those are kind of the numbers, which are great. But for me, the changes are what happens with how people see themselves, how they feel about themselves. So when I hear that actually I feel like a different person, this has changed my life, I've got my confidence back, that's what really like makes me love what I do. Because, you know, yes, what we see in the mirror might initially drive us, or it might be the final straw. At the end of the day, what we're wanting is to feel amazing and have that confidence.
And you know, with those comments, that the likelihood of the weight staying off is much more likely than if they just lost the weight and hadn't dealt with the beliefs or the limiting beliefs that were holding them back before that.
Absolutely. Like, one of the things that I hear so often from women is that they feel strong. Like, that is just like the sort of one phrase that it's almost like it gets passed around. And, you know, we've not even talked about strength, but they say they feel really strong, and that just has such a knock-on effect. So yeah, like I don't do calorie counting, I don't do temporary diets. You know, I want everything to be sustainable. So again, it's really good when I hear like, actually the family love the meals that we're doing, because there's nothing that I'm providing that can't be eaten by the rest of the family. Sure. So, yeah.
And I noticed that you're also a member of the Epsomineal networking.
I am.
Community.
That's a great group. Yeah.
How important do you think networking is in business?
Hugely important. I really didn't appreciate it until the pandemic, actually, the lockdown, because we had Zoom sessions facilitated, and I really got to know people a lot better over that time. And I think, you know, we probably all felt that loss of connection, and it sort of drove me more to wanting to see people and just that level of support. And for me, once I get to know people and get a sense of what they're about, then I want to champion them. And I think sometimes in that networking side of things, unless you sort of really get to know people and what they're about, it can feel not necessarily disingenuous, but you don't feel as genuinely driven to share what that person does. And I think I've got that so much more now.
That's really good, isn't it, actually? Yeah, it's a great endorsement of networking. If you could talk to the younger you, Anthea, what would you say to her?
Oh, interesting. To the younger Anthea, I'll keep it clean. I will say, stop caring about what people think. Don't give up the things that you love. Start martial arts younger, or maybe not. Maybe I might have had more injuries. And, just believe in yourself.
Great bits of advice there.
Sorry,
sadly we've reached the end of the interview. I can't believe it's gone so quickly.
I told you I talk a lot.
It's all good. Sadly, Anthea, we've reached the end of the interview. I could talk to you all day about this subject, because it's really interesting. I really find it an interesting topic. But if you could offer the listeners one piece of advice, what would that be?
My one piece of advice would be to start with small changes. Don't throw everything on yourself all at once, because as you develop towards your goals, you're going to be a different person midway through and at the end of the journey. So start building up those changes, and you're going to change the person that you are to reach your goal.
That's fantastic advice. Thank you so much. That was Anthea McCourty from youbyanthea.co.uk.
What a great source of knowledge Anthea is in so many different areas. And I was particularly struck by how driven she is. Please stay with us, because after our ad break, I will be talking to my final guest, Sophie Easttop-Scopes, founder and director of Easttop-Scopes Virtual Assistants.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.
Do you want to learn how to dance a range of different styles? Eager to strengthen and tone those muscles a little more through exercise? Then come and join LCA Fitness and Dance. All classes are held at the Cornerstone Centre in West Byfleet. Morning classes include ballet, musical theatre, gentle exercise and body conditioning. Friday evenings are Latin and Ballroom nights. Inquiries are welcome for private dance lessons, a great way to work on your technique. We also choreograph wedding dances to make your perfect day even more special. Call Leslie on 07860 610040 for further details. Fitness, fun and friendship at LCA Fitness and Dance.
Woking Shop Mobility are a registered charity, hiring out mobility scooters and powered and manual wheelchairs to enable you to enjoy access to the many amenities of Woking Town Centre. Conveniently located on Level 1 of the Peacock Shopping Centre with a free car park for the sole use of our clients, we are here for anyone who's experiencing mobility challenges, short or long term. We also hire manual wheelchairs and travel scooters for holidays and day trips. Becoming a registered member is fast and easy, so visit us or call 01483 776612. That's 01483 776612. And get mobile with Woking Shop Mobility.
Do you enjoy listening to interviews with the stars of stage, screen and the music world? You do? Then you will definitely want to tune in and be a part of Suzanne Hunter's World of Arts and Entertainment. Or perhaps you're more of a film fan and enjoy hearing film scores, interviews and film reviews. Well, in that case, Suzanne Hunter's Hollywood Hits and Brit Flicks is the show and podcast for you. Each week you can hear a different theme and genre to enjoy. So whether you love the arts and entertainment or simply want to escape into the magic of the movies, let Suzanne's show transport you into the excitement of it all. Tune in every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. and with the repeat on Saturday 7 p.m. It's only to be found on Brooklyn's Radio.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.
Welcome back to Just Women. For our final interview, here I am chatting with Sophie Eastop-Scopes. Hi, Sophie. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for coming on. Before we talk to you about the work you're currently doing, can you just share with the listeners a little bit about what you've done before, your career background?
Yeah, so I started off back in the real days of teenagers working in a hotel in reservations. That's kind of where I think started. And then I moved into worked at Kingston College, and that was one of my favourite jobs I've ever had, working in the library at Kingston College, which people find quite funny, the fact that I'm not the quietest of people, but I landed myself a library job. But that was really lovely. And then moved on after I had my son from the college, and needed to find a job that suited me. So I started volunteering with Net Mums, hosting little local meetups for new mums and dads in the local area. That built up my connection with local businesses, and so was born me in self-employment, really.
I mean, you touched on a really important point there, actually, Sophie, which is that for a lot of mums, I think for most mums, one of the most important values is flexibility, because you want to go to your child's parents' evening, you want to go to the nativity play, and it's really stressful if you're in a job that it's 9 to 5, it's really rigid, there's no, you know, flexibility isn't there. It's hard, isn't it, mum?
And exactly, I loved my job at Kingston College. It was honestly one of my favourites. It like refound my love of working, because I'd had a little bit of a, you know, when you get different people working with you, it can affect your confidence when you're young. And I went into this job, and the managers there were just so good and so encouraging. So I really found myself in that job and learned a lot about my own confidence. So it was a real shame when I became pregnant. And unfortunately, the reality of it was, to keep the job that I could afford to maintain childcare costs of, I had to work 9 to 5, and it just wasn't something that sat right with me and my mothering and style. So I then was on the lookout for something more flexible, so that I could be a present parent, as well as, you know, utilising the fact that I'd gone to university in my own time for Open University. So I'd spent all that time. I can't waste this now. So it was difficult, because you walk away from a job you love. I think it's easier if you walk away from a job you don't like, to try and find some way of working something around. But fortunately enough, kind of someone said, well, what about a virtual assistant? And I was like, oh, actually, you never know, I might be able to do that. And you know, that was the start of everything more flexible around my son.
So you mentioned net mums, then you mentioned obviously going off and doing a degree. So what did you do your degree in that you felt would give you the flexibility to be able to work for yourself?
So I started my degree with very different, because I started with Open University, you pick modules as you go along. And I started actually working at the college in mind of wanting a promotion, but you couldn't get promoted to the next kind of tier up pay-wise unless you had a degree qualification. So I was like, right, I'm going to do this in my own time. I was earning a reasonable wage. So I was like, I can do this kind of in my evenings. And then I fell pregnant and was like, okay, this is going to change things a little. And I actually completed my degree within the first 3 months of self-employment. So my degree lasted throughout. And so the start of my degree was very much research based, because that's what I focused on, because I thought I was going to take it into a library career. And then the last year and a bit actually was much more marketing based, in the idea of I'd started working with small businesses, seeing what they kind of really struggled with. And so it kind of, my degree kind of adapted with me, which was actually one of the real blisses of having an Open University degree. My degree's in business management. It started off as leadership management. And then as we went along, I was like, is there any way of changing this up? And they were like, yeah, you just, your next set of modules, take them from marketing and it will change your degree to business management with a specialty in marketing. So that's what I did.
That's great. So, and then someone planted the seed of virtual assistant. So share with us, what does a virtual assistant do?
So a virtual assistant is like a PA from a distance. I think it became much more popular or understood after COVID, because before COVID you were like, PA from distance, how is this possible? But the reality is a lot of small business owners have a need for support but don't have either a premises that you can have someone working in, or they don't have the need to put someone on a contract for a 9-to-5, and so they're left in that limbo world of, I really need some help but I can't afford to pay someone, you know, Monday to Friday 9-to-5, so where is the middle? And that's where what I am, I'm the middle ground. I particularly aim and work with small businesses because they're the ones that do struggle a little bit with budgets and cash flow sometimes. And so they need to have a flexible approach. And that's what me and my team provide, is a flexible approach where we can support you when you need support. And then there'll be months where it's quieter and you don't need support and you come on board there. So a VA is a virtual assistant, as in a personal assistant, but virtually. We don't need a office or a pension or anything like that. We just come on board when you need us.
And do the people that work as virtual assistants, that your associates, are they in certain industries so that the person knows about that industry, or how does that work, or do they not need to?
So I've found different things. When I started my business, I was told by nearly everyone, you've got a niche, you've got to pick an industry and you've got a niche. And actually I found that there were so many similarities between industries in regards to support and needing someone to phone up after a really hard day and going, you know, almost like a business partner as such, someone that comes in and that really, really knows you and knows what you're working with. And so that was such a general theme across them. And I'm an organic reach specialist for social media. So I really liked the fact that there were standard rules that any business could apply to their business and using social media, that it really didn't matter what industry, then you niche on the research part. So because of my research background and knowing that I could get to know people relatively quickly, I decided not to niche on industry. So we don't need a niche on industry. The team that I work with, they will have preferences. So for example, the mums will like education, working with clients that kind of have similar things to either their likes or hobbies or career history. But in regards to general what we accept, we will talk with anyone and then I'll make a decision based on that chat on if I have the knowledge or if I have the research abilities to be able to take them on, kind of thing. So,
and do you think there's often a commonality in relation to what the problems are that the small businesses are facing? you think a lot of them are saying, oh, social media, I can't do social media. Let me pass it over to you. Do you think there's the things that are always there or?
Yeah. And you know, I mean, for me, the saddest kind of commonality between everyone is confidence. The confidence in small business owners, honestly, sometimes you're like, whoa, take it back. If you'd done this job in corporate, you wouldn't even question the decisions you're making now because you know your stuff. However, you make yourself a business owner and suddenly it's like, oh, hang on a minute. Can I do this? Should I be doing this? Is there a paperwork framework? Because you're creating it yourself, suddenly there's that question of, am I doing things okay? So honestly, the overarching thing in a lot of clients is confidence, and it's support, confidence and really support of knowing I've got a client, they're refusing to pay my invoice. Am I right in asking them to? Yes, absolutely. Let's get that invoice paid for you. That kind of support and confidence, unfortunately, is an overriding factor in most industries and most business owners. And it's just about adapting that. Have they got no confidence, so they need training? Have they got no confidence, so they need to work on their business rather than in it all the time, or on themselves and in it on time, so you can take away the time and stress that they're doing on the other things? So yeah, little thing. Or are they just really, social media is something that, for example, that some people just never get. There's things that I will never get. So is it, if you take that away, will they build confidence because they're not constantly faced with something they find challenging? So it's just about finding out where that kind of lies. But that, I'd say, is the most common one.
Okay. And I think with the social media thing, sometimes I feel it's the exposure. It's not wanting to be out there and everyone's seeing you. And what they don't like, what they see, it's that kind of fear, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, it all feeds in as well, because if, you know, you get that imposter syndrome and you're suddenly like, what am I good enough? What am I doing? To then be on social media saying, I am the best, which is kind of what you've got to say in like a humble way, is difficult for people. It's really difficult to say, you know what, I'm really good at what I do. And it's also very un-British of us. We suddenly go, oh, hang on a minute, should I be saying I'm good at what I do? Yeah, absolutely you should, because you are. And as I say, if you put exactly the same people in exactly the same processes in a corporate world, they wouldn't question it. They'd be arguing for pay rises. They'd be saying, you know, no, this isn't fair. But they just, when it's yourself, your own business, you're like, oh, maybe that person, I shouldn't charge that person because they weren't happy with the last 5 minutes of a 3-hour appointment. You're like, no, wow. Hang on a minute. It, you know, it does, you know, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So talk us, Sophie, through some of the services you provide. Obviously, you mentioned virtual assistant, but to make it broader than that, how does that work?
Yeah, so we offer support to small businesses in admin, social media and marketing predominantly. There are three areas. Admin is more your kind of diary management. It can be anything from formatting a document. You know, you get one of these documents, like, I need to make it look all pretty. It can be something like that. Sends it across so you don't have to do the fiddly work. We can do it really quickly for you. So the kind of day-to-day admin role or admin support that either you need constantly or one-offs, that's that type of thing. Social media is kind of what it says on the tin. So it's anything from training, if you want to do it yourself so that you know that you're going into it with a more strategic mind, to help with content ideas, to all the way up to full management of your accounts and content creation for you and support. And then we have marketing. It's more of a consultation service, just because of my background and qualifications. People quite like it for me to go in, have a look and go, right, this is what I suggest. These are your goals. This is your target. This is how you action it. But we do offer marketing support in regards to newsletters. Online magazines are an up and coming. We get much more demand for that kind of thing too, where people want to create online magazines for sale. So that kind of marketing based role also is mainly everything you can to support small businesses. When I started out, I just found that I was getting people coming to me with like, oh yeah, I can do this for you for like £3,000, or I can do this for you for like a ridiculous amount of money. And when you're a small business owner, you don't just have that to hand. Well, I certainly didn't. Yeah. So that was the kind of whole build up of what I did, was that it's going to be stuff that essential bits that small businesses need at an affordable rate.
That's what I was going to ask you, actually, because I think there were people probably listening thinking, well, that's great and I'd love a virtual assistant, but I couldn't possibly afford that. So what would you say to those small businesses?
Well, see, that's something also, because an hourly rate, if you were to get an admin assistant, your hourly rate is probably going to be around minimum wage, £10 to £15 an hour, whereas a virtual assistant, realistically, you're looking at around £25 an hour for a virtual assistant. But the thing is, it's the speed. So you're paying someone 9 to 5, £15 an hour to do a job. You may have tasks that day, you may not. They may be sitting around waiting for a phone call. With a virtual assistant, you only pay them for when you need them, for when they work. And I'm quick. I haven't got, you know, over 15 years experience to just sit around waiting for a call. When I get a task, it's done, it's sent back to you, and you're only charged for the time. So it's actually more affordable. You don't have to do pensions, you don't pay sick leave if someone can't attend work. That's it, you don't pay them. So in the long run, not even in the long run, in even in short terms, if you just need some support for say a campaign, an event, and then you don't need support again, it's actually a lot more affordable. And it's a lot more affordable than people think. We also do no notice period contracts. That's something that I was really passionate about when I started, because I think that things can change for small business owners. Things can come up. COVID can hit. And you don't want to be like, oh my God, I've got to pay this person retainer fees for the next 3 months because I've signed in. So we have no retainers. You can book a retainer with us, but we don't have an essential. You have to have a retainer in order to work with us. And we have no minimum contract notice periods because it's got to be flexible around business owners. So I do think that anything is affordable depending on what time you allocate, what budget you allocate, and, you know, the need and sense for you.
And you're absolutely spot on with that, because obviously when you employ someone, you're paying thousands on top of that for things like holiday pay, for the pension, for sick leave, all those sort of things that people often forget, you know. So I totally agree with what you're saying. I noticed on your website it says, which is really impressive, you were shortlisted as a finalist for the Family Network Business Recognition Awards in 2020, 2021 and 2022. A feature editor...
Like the bridesmaid. Never the bride.
A feature editor and writer for KTQ magazine and finalist for the Kingston Borough Business Awards in 2021. That's great. Must be really
and we've just actually got an email to say that we're finalists this year too, 2023. So that's really exciting. And this year's the first year I've been able to get my team. We've managed to formulate dates. So I've got three of the associates coming with me to the Family Network Awards this year because we're finalists in business growth. And we've got one of my associates, Nagar, who's coming with me to the Kingston Borough Business Awards, where we're a finalist. I'm a finalist for young entrepreneur. I thought, I'll take that for now. I don't feel it, so I'm going to live. Take that. And then we just got Digital Women Awards have just contacted me to say we have been nominated, not finalists, but we've been nominated, which is really something lovely. So you
mentioned networking in that. How important is networking to a business?
Networking was the foundation of the start of my business. When anyone asked me, because I do get virtual assistants contact me and saying, yeah, I'm finding it hard to find my feet in the market. How did you start? Networking was how I started. I started co-working with a lovely little group called Epson and Your Families, and made loads of connections through Dee and the team there. And then I carried on, attended a few local networking groups and established some really good, lovely business contacts. And once you have them contacts, you become invaluable, because a client can come to you with something you cannot do and you can say, oh, don't worry, I can't do that, but I can find. And I think that's where my history in the college and in the library, the motto was always, I can't guarantee you I know it, but I can guarantee you I can find the answer. And that's kind of what I adapted into my business. So I can't do everything, of course I can't, but I can guarantee that I can find someone that can help you or can steer you in the right direction.
That's a common thing that people say, actually, sorry to interrupt, Sophie, is that it's that feeling of support that you get from the network.
Yeah, exactly. So knowing you can go somewhere. I was networking in one group at the time when sadly my granddad passed a few years ago. But automatically I had people who could help for advice on funerals, supports, probate, selling houses, all the kind of weird stuff that you do not want to be thinking about. So, you know, personal crisis, professional crisis, networking is invaluable. And it did set me off on having contacts that I can then take with me, regardless of if you have time to network or not nowadays. I have those foundations. So that's useful.
Sadly, Sophie, we reached the end of the interview. If listeners would like to find out more, how can they do that?
So they can head to our website, which is www.eastop-scopes-va.co.uk. You can literally search my name, Sophie Eastop Scopes or Eastop Scopes, into Google, and we'll pop up. That's the one thing about having a complicated little name.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you. Thank you so much. That was Sophie Easttop Scopes from easttopscopesba.co.uk with some great advice there. Thank you so much, Sophie. Love you talking to you.
Thank you very much.
When I spoke to Sophie, her passion for wanting to support small businesses in particular was clear. I look forward to catching up with her in the future. So we'd like to thank all our guests today on Just Women. That's Renu Ballantine, a private chef from chefrenub.com, Anthea McCourty, a nutritionist from youbyanthea.co.uk, and Sophie Easttop Scopes, founder and director of Easttop Scopes Virtual Assistants. And a reminder, as always, that we're keen to hear about local women with interesting lives. So if you think you'd like to come on our show, please email justwomenshow@brooklandsradio.co.uk with your contact details, and we'll get in touch with you and hopefully get you on a future show. Details of past and future guests are on our website. That's brooklandsradio.co.uk/justwomen. And you can find us on Facebook too at /justwomen.br and Twitter at Brooklands Radio. So thank you for listening and join us again next week for Just Women. Until then, it's goodbye from me, Ivana O'Brien. Have a great week.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio.